My dearly beloved in Christ, no doubt you have often heard those words, charity covers a multitude of sins. Well, now you know where they come from. The first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4. And it is certainly a wonderful statement, a wonderful expression of the virtue, the importance of the virtue of charity, because it says to us that we can make up for many other defects, many sins, many failings, if we would but excel in charity. And we know that we shall one day appear before our Lord to be judged, to render an account for our entire lives. And will it not give us a great comfort to be able to say at that moment of judgment, at least I tried to be always charitable to my neighbor, to excel in charity, to practice this all-important virtue. That will be a source of great comfort to us at that moment. Let us then resolve that we will become known for charity. In fact, our Lord tells us that we ought to be recognized as such. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So it is the distinguishing characteristic of the followers of our Lord that we have this love, this charity for one another. Also, let us reflect upon the two great commandments. Our Lord said, the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for the love of God. So love of neighbor is really an overflowing of our love of God. And you have often heard the saying that we should see Christ in our neighbor. Well, what does that mean? It means that what we do for others is taken by our Lord as having been done to himself. When it is done for the right purpose, for the love of God, not for some selfish motive like, well, I'll be kind so that this person will like me, but rather we do it for the love of our Lord, he takes it as done to himself. He said, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you have done it to me. So that is what we mean when we say to see Christ in others. But then someone will say, well, what about someone who's not even baptized? He's not a member of the mystical body of Christ, not of any religion. How can I see Christ in that person? Well, we can still practice charity because we can say to ourselves, our Lord died for him or her. God loves that person, and that person is capable of becoming a member of the mystical body of Christ and serving God and perhaps becoming a better Catholic than I. And so we still practice charity towards everyone, and we pray for everyone. And this reminds us of how we can practice charity. First and foremost, our interest should be in the spiritual welfare of our neighbor. That is above all what is important. When our Lord said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, that is what he meant. How do we love ourselves? Well, the proper love of self, yes, we take care of our material, our corporal needs, but above all, we work out our salvation. That's true love of self, to get to heaven, to save our immortal soul. And so if that is the most important thing in our lives, it should also be the primary reason for which we love our neighbor. Our concern is for his or her salvation, practicing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, but above all, desiring and praying for the salvation of the souls of our neighbors, and also giving a good example on our part, practicing our faith, and thus giving them a good example. There are many quotations regarding charity in the Bible, and perhaps most of them, or at least many of them, can be found in the epistles of St. John. St. John, who was so known for his charity. So here are a few quotations taken from the first epistle of St. John. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is no scandal in him. but he that hateth his brother is in darkness. And again, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And finally, one more quote, "Dearly beloved, let us love one another, for charity is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is charity. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and his charity is perfected in us. God is charity, and he that abideth in charity abideth in God, and God in him. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he seeth, how can he love God, whom he seeth not? And this commandment we have from God, that he who loveth God loveth also his brother." And of course, many other such quotations could be given. Our Lord commanded charity and even went so far as to give an example at the Last Supper when he washed the feet of his disciples and he said, "As I have done to you, so you ought to do to one another," to practice charity. So how do we do that? Well, I've already mentioned we pray for our neighbor and we give a good example, but we also strive to avoid the sins against charity, such things as rash judgment. A rash judgment is when we form a conclusion in our mind without sufficient evidence. And we have to recognize the fact that we are inclined to judge our neighbor rashly. We are inclined to be more strict, more severe in our judgment towards others than towards ourselves. We want to be forgiven. We want to be granted forgiveness for our many sins, but we would like our neighbor to be held to a very strict account. So we have to be very careful of this to avoid rash judgments. And if we cannot excuse the action, we can at least put a charitable motive, impute a charitable motive to our neighbor. And we know not all the circumstances. So be careful not to judge. Avoid calumny and slander, speaking about our neighbor in a disparaging way, which are also sins against justice as well as against charity. Also, natural antipathies, which when consented to are often the cause of faults against charity. We all have different personalities and different temperaments. And there will always be someone in your life who will just rub you the wrong way. There will be someone that you find it hard to get along with. But by practicing charity, that's where the real merit comes in. If you are charitable towards someone that you really like, someone whose personality is in sync with yours, it's easy, you like to be around this person, it's easy to be charitable towards such individuals. But what about those that are a real trial to be around? We just don't like them by nature, our natural feelings. We don't have to like, but we have to love. Charity, the virtue of charity. So overcoming those natural antipathies, avoiding bitter words, words of ridicule or contempt that cannot but engender or intensify enmities. Likewise, witticisms indulged in at the expense of the neighbor, which cause at times smarting wounds. That doesn't mean it's forbidden to be jovial, to engage in wit. But if you recognize that there's someone who's really hurt by those comments, then you will not do them. You will avoid wounding your neighbor. Also, strife and discussions born of pride. We like to have our own opinion accepted by others. And sometimes we defend it and promote it to a point that wounds charity. Also, each person wants to carry his point and humiliates the other to avoid talking down to others in this way. Rivalries, discord, false reports, all of these things which sow dissension among the members of a community. There are many different faults against charity, but the greatest of all, the greatest sin against charity is scandal. giving bad example to others. So let us especially strive to be a good example. So reflecting upon this wonderful virtue and the words of our Lord that by this we shall be recognized, let us make it a goal that we will excel in fraternal charity. And you can take comfort in those words of St. Peter in today's epistle that charity covers a multitude of sins. If we excel in this virtue, it will be a great comfort to us knowing that we have failed in so many ways. Now, passing on to today's gospel, we find the words of our Lord, narrated here by St. John, were spoken at the Last Supper. And our Lord warned his followers that they would be subject to persecution. He didn't want them to have any false impression that they would go out after his ascension into heaven to spread the faith and everyone would welcome them. No, he says, these things I have spoken to you that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering worship to God. Our Lord is saying that his followers are going to be persecuted. And it reminds me of that story, and I believe the Pope involved was Pope Pius IX, that he was one day visiting with some seminarians in one of the seminaries in Rome. And he asked them, tell me the five marks of the church. And they were looking at one another. What is he asking? Because they know the four marks. We all know the four marks of the church, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. That's what is in our catechism. So the Pope said, what is the fifth mark of the church? Nobody answered. And then he said, the fifth mark is persecution. Because you can tell the true church in that it will be persecuted. In fact, that's probably the clearest sign by which this modern church operating out of the Vatican today, what I would refer to as the Novus Ordo Church or the Vatican II Church, is not Catholic because it's no longer persecuted. It has embraced the world. It has eliminated or swept under the rug those doctrines that are not pleasing to the world. It has been an effort to get along and to be well-liked. But our Lord tells us that if we are his true followers, we will be persecuted. We will be misunderstood. We will have to suffer. And we should rejoice because then we know that we are doing the right thing if we are persecuted because of our faith, because we're adhering to our faith. So let us give thanks to God for the faith and let us live it, especially in the area of charity, because by this will all men know that we are his true disciples, that we have love for one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.